but now she thinks only of her husband and of the terrible fate that is hanging over him.
Of course, he wouldn't tell me why she was jealous. It was another of those little mysteries Poirot persisted in keeping to himself. By the time the case came into court, I had been given a job at the War Office. Mary had taken a house in Kensington and invited Poirot and myself to stay with her. On September the 15th, John appeared in the dock to answer the charge of the willful murder of Emily Inglethorpe. Mr. Phillips opened for the Crown.
Rarely in the course of my career have I been confronted with a more ruthless or cold-blooded crime. The callous and deliberate poisoning, gentlemen of the jury, of a fond and trusting woman by a stepson to whom she had been more than a mother, who had supported him ever since his boyhood, a kind and generous benefactress to both the prisoner and his wife.
Mr. Phillips, a KC of the old school, began to build up a formidable and rather alarming case for the Crown.
I shall call witnesses to show that the prisoner, a profligate and spendthrift, had been at the end of his financial tether and, furthermore, had been carrying on an intrigue with the wife of a neighbouring farmer, a certain Mrs. Ricks.
No wonder poor Mary was so wretchedly unhappy.
This having come to Mrs. Inglethorpe's ears, she confronted the prisoner on the afternoon before her death, and a bitter quarrel ensued, part of which was most fortunately overheard. On the day previous to this, the prisoner had purchased strychnine at the village chemist's, wearing a disguise by which he hoped to throw suspicion upon another, the man he believed stood between himself and his stepmother's fortune, her husband, Alfred Inglethorpe. Fortunately, Mr. Inglethorpe had an unimpeachable alibi,
provided by Mrs. Rakes, who had evidently been rather free with her favours.
On the afternoon of July the 17th, immediately after the quarrel with her stepson, Mrs. Inglethorpe made a new will. A fragment of this was found in the ashes of a bedroom fire the following morning, but it was undoubtedly drawn up in favour of her husband. This will had been almost certainly destroyed by the prisoner, but little did he know that the deceased had already drawn up a will in favour of her husband at the time of her engagement, which she had evidently forgotten about.
He got himself into rather a tangle over the various wills, and it was with considerable relief that he came to the end of his exposition and called to the stand his first witness, Inspector Japp.
Acting on information received, I searched the prisoner's room during his temporary absence from the house. In his chest of drawers, hidden under a pile of underwear, we found first a pair of gold-rimmed pince-nez, similar to those worn by Mr. Inglethorpe, and secondly, this file.
And you will see, gentlemen of the jury, that the file is labelled strychnine hydrochloride poison. And I believe you came across another piece of vital evidence, Inspector.
A piece of blotting paper in Mrs. Inglethorpe's checkbook. On being reversed in a mirror, one could discern the words, "Everything of which I die possessed, I leave to my beloved husband, Alfred Inge."
Which proves beyond question that the destroyed will had been in favour of the deceased's husband.
The counsel for the defence, Sir Ernest Heavyweather, was renowned for his bullying tactics, but it took him quite an effort to make any impression on the imperturbable Jap.
Tell me, Inspector, what day did you say it was that you searched the defendant's room?
Tuesday, the 24th of July.
Exactly a week after the tragedy. And you say that you found the pince-nez and the phial of strychnine in the chest of drawers. Was the drawer unlocked?
Yes, it was.
Does it not strike you as unlikely that a man who is supposed to have committed murder should keep such incriminating pieces of evidence in an unlocked drawer where anyone could find them?
He was probably in a hurry.
But it was a whole week after the crime. He would have had ample time to take them out of the house and destroy them.
Perhaps.
There is no perhaps about it. Would he or would he not have had time to take them out of the house and destroy them?
Yes.